First, though, it's time to go inside the crease. Crease Lightning once again with Kevin Woodley from NHL.com and In Goal Magazine. Woodley, how you doing, my man?
I'm good, Jason. You?
Oh, outstanding. Feel great.
Excellent.
Excited to rejuvenate a little time off. It was awesome. I want to get in. Carolina's in town tonight, of course, and they don't give up a lot of shots. They don't give up a ton of, you know, chances compared to every other team, but their goaltending's got a .900 save percentage from Cam Ward and an .892 from Eddie Lack. And we'll get into Lack in a second. I know his struggles, a lot of it has to do with maybe, you know, the goaltending coach trying to change his style, and it really hasn't worked. But what do you see from Cam Ward? Why is he struggling so much?
Well, you know, I guess first off, and this it's going to come across as the goalie union making excuses. But the reality is that I know Carolina, they're a team that on paper, from an, you know, that sort of advanced stats analytics side of things, they look so good. I mean, you're right. They're creating a lot of chances. They don't give up a lot of chances. Their possession numbers are strong. If you break down their high quality based on location, the high quality chances they give up are low. The high quality chances they create are high, and yet here we are. Bad goaltending numbers statistically and not a great record so far. The one thing, and I wrote about this earlier this year for NHL.com in the Unmasked column, and sometimes not being busy for a goaltender can be the hardest thing. Going long periods of time without shots can be a very hard thing for a goaltender. And yes, overall, the Hurricanes are much better defensively. They are doing a good job defensively, but it can be tough at times, and I've done some video work on Lax games where, and there are instances where you don't see a shot for 5 minutes, but the shot you see after 5 minutes of doing nothing can be a two-on-one rush the other way. So that can be a challenge for goaltenders. It's something they have to get used to, something they have to overcome. I mean, and for those who think, you know, whatever, it can't really be that big a deal. That was the biggest concern that Mitch Korn and the Washington Capitals had about Braden Holtby's ability to play behind a Barry Trotz system, even 2-3 months into last season, was whether he could, they knew he was a really good busy goalie, could he learn to be just as good when he wasn't as busy? So that's a very real challenge, and it's one that the Carolina goaltenders are both having to go through right now. Less shots, especially for a team that, you know, it's not like the shots they give up are all from the outside. You're getting a bunch of those kind of feeler shots from the outside to feel your way into a game and feel good about yourself. Kind of, you know, like a power play specialist likes to have the puck on his stick when he's struggling, or, you know, a grinder wants to go in and throw a big hit when things aren't going well to try and kind of feel his way into the game. Those long shots are the easiest way for a goaltender to feel his way into the game. So that's been a challenge for both goalies. You know, with Ward specifically, there's so much skill there. There's so much raw talent there. And I think going for a decade without a really good technical goaltending coach in Carolina hurt him. And even though David Marcoux has done a really good job over the past season and a half of tightening up Cam's game, it's still one that relies a lot on timing and rhythm and feel. He's an aggressive goaltender who, you know, we have something called six saves. One of our writers, Greg Ballack, does six saves every night, and they're highlight reel saves. And Cam Ward is quite often on there, diving headfirst across the crease, to the point where you have to ask yourself, why does he have to dive headfirst across the crease so often? Yes, he has the skill to make those saves where others miss, but you wonder structurally whether there's too much aggression there, that he's putting himself in positions where he has to make those types of saves. And I think of that is a lot of lack of structure for, like I said, more than a decade. I mean, he wins a cup in his first year, and, you know, not all on the Canes. He stopped going to the goalie school he used to go through in the summers, and Carolina didn't get him much help from a goaltending coach perspective, probably until hiring Marcoux last year. So when you rely that much, you play that aggressively and rely that much on raw skill, you're going to leave yourself a lot more prone to ups and downs, and I think you see that in Ward's game. He's still capable of lifting a team to victory, but more nights, more often than not, he puts himself in situations where it's a lot to ask anybody to make up that kind of space and that kind of difference. And I can tell you, talking to other teams, when you do play outside the crease like he does and predominantly in the white paint, off the rush and things like that, I mean, the book is pretty simple, and other teams certainly have it, is don't try to shoot it through him. Just pass around him and make him cover off all that extra distance that he takes up challenging.
Kevin Woodley joins us from NHL.com and In Goal Magazine. Kevin, there's, you know, goalie coaches have been around a long time, of course, but, there's more and more going on now. Every team has one. Some have even two. Some guys working with their minor system. And some coaches, like NHL coaches, I think goalie coaches are the same. Some are going to be more willing to try new things. Other are going to be rather rigid in how they want. Like, I know that, you know, Eddie Lack, they wanted him playing more aggressive, and he's a guy who plays more in the crease, where Ryan Miller, when he went to Vancouver, they wanted him to be more of a guy, you know, playing opposite to what he was used to. And neither one has had success. As a guy who's worked with goalies, I guess the goalie coach position is like anywhere else, where, you know, the best ones eventually are the ones who are able to teach both styles, correct? Both aggressive or playing deep in the crease?
Well, I think there's no way that there's one way to do it, right? There is no one correct way to stop a puck. And I think you have to work with different styles and different goaltenders. And, you know, I think sometimes that can take time to learn a tendency, to come to an understanding between the goalie coach and the goaltender. And so, you know, I've read the same stories about Eddie and the changes in his game, and certainly I watched the first game and saw the interview with their goaltending coach, David Marcoux, talking about asking him to make saves in the white ice, you know, and that didn't work for him for the first couple of months of the season. It's not just about, to me, a lot of people focus on where they make saves and where they play, you know, inside the crease or outside of the crease. But the more important thing is what it does to your movement patterns. If you're out, you can still get to the top of your crease from an inside-out standpoint if you're Eddie Lack and challenge more, and I think even he would admit he needs to. But if you're doing it from an inside-out standpoint, you're still kind of the same movement patterns in your crease. If you're starting out early and out above your crease as the play comes at you and then retreating, it's not just that you're in a different position, it's that every movement pattern around the crease is different. And for a guy like him where skating isn't a strength, he ended up moving more, he ended up off angle a lot, and pucks ended up going through him. So, and it just takes time, Jason. It takes time sometimes for a new coach and a goaltender to kind of come to an understanding of what's going to work best for that guy. Because it's real easy to watch Eddie play deep and see him get beat high and say, well, he's got to be more aggressive. But you have to convince him and you have to coach him off his goal line a bit. And I think going to the extreme they did probably didn't work, because it not only asked him to change where he was making saves, but it asked him to change how he was moving around the crease. And you can take a look at the first couple of months of the season. I think the save percentage was around .863. And over the past, you know, since his last six starts, they've come to an understanding where he's going to go back to doing it his way. And in those six starts, he's 4.02 with a .923 save percentage. So, but a lot of that is give and take. Ryan Miller tried to play more conservatively last year. And again, over time, Rolly Melanson didn't come in and hammer Miller on playing deeper inside the crease right out of the gate. He let him feel good, tried to help him do the drills for the first 2 months that would help him feel good about his game. And then they tried to bring him back. Well, over the summer, Miller decided that he's got to live and die at the edge of his crease. But he also seems to have changed some of the patterns that get him there. In other words, yes, he feels more comfortable at the edge of his crease. He's playing more aggressively than he did last season, but he's not out beyond the crease and retreating as much as he used to. So there's a case where there's a little bit of give and take back and forth. And yeah, I know the numbers aren't great for Miller right now, but they were really good early until I would argue they overplayed him and ran him down physically while Markstrom was hurt. So it is a process. I mean, hey, I was talking to Anders Lindback today with the Arizona Coyotes, and they've got a new goalie coach in John Elkin after years of Sean Burke. And, you know, for Anders Lindback, who has bounced around over the past couple of years, he's had a handful of goalie coaches. So yet another new one for him. He told me that Elkin showed him details technically in his game that he had never thought of before in his career, and he's excited about them. But here we are a few months into the season, and he still hasn't been able to make them instinctual. So as much as it's about building that relationship between the goalie and the coach and coming to an understanding of how the goalie coach wants you to play, but also trying to make that fit within where a goalie's strengths lie, there's also, it's going to take time for some of the changes you do agree upon even to become instinctual. And until they do, if that goalie's out there thinking about those changes on the ice, hey, it's like, you know, not to quote Top Gun too often on your show, but if you think out there, you're dead. You have to be reacting. And so it is anytime you're talking about changes, it really is a process. And as a process, it's always going to be better served when the goalie and the goalie coach are on the same page from day one. And, you know, for guys that are a little more rigid in their beliefs and how the game should be played, sometimes that takes a little longer to get to that starting point.
Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com joins us. Kevin, a lot of people wondering about Pekka. What do you see? You know, his numbers are well below what he's used to. He's only got a .909 save percentage, and really, you know, it's been about .900 for the last 2 months. So what's going on in Nashville with Rene?
Well, there's a guy that has relied, you know, we talk about extremes. There's a guy whose size, a lot of goalie coaches watched him and thought, man, at that size, why is he play to the outer extremes of his crease? Why does he play such an active game? And the answer is because he can. I mean, he's a freak physically in terms of his ability to move a 6'5" frame around the crease like a 5'10" guy. Heck, he moves better than a lot of 5'10" guys. But when you move that much at that size, you open up holes. Again, you relieve yourself a little more reliant on rhythm and timing. And, you know, he seemed, at least anecdotally, he told me he felt good behind Laviolette's system last year. I wondered from the outside whether he might struggle being more exposed defensively after losing Barry Trotz. But he said he welcomed it because he was a guy who struggled with not seeing a lot of shots. And under Laviolette, they were a little more wide open. He felt like he was seeing a lot of pucks, and he could play that active athletic style that he likes. It just seems like it's starting to catch up with him a little bit. His reaction time, his skill set is just at such a high end, but he did play a style that leaves him reliant on it, and it has to be perfect. There's not a lot of margin for error, and you wonder as he ages, could he be more effective by playing a slightly more passive, more efficient game? In other words, don't put yourself in a point where you rely so much on that extreme athleticism. Use your frame a little more efficiently at times, let more pucks hit you, and then just use the athleticism on top of that base. But, you know, he's played that way for so long. I don't know if that's a change you can make with Pekka, and it's going to be hard for him, as gifted as he's been, to continue to rely on those instincts and kind of raw skills as much as he has, as he gets older and as he faces an increased workload.
And lastly, what are you hearing on Carey Price?
Not much. The Canadians play it pretty close to the vest. I think like a lot of people tried to read the tea leaves into the acquisition of Scrivens, but truth be told, I think it's pretty clear at this point they don't really see Tokarski as, you know, as a long-term solution there, either as a backup or as a guy who's going to run with the job while somebody else is injured. And, you know, so they needed some experience back there, a stabilizing presence, you know, and for as bad as things went for Ben Scrivens in Edmonton, he's shown what he can do with the Kings behind a really good structured defensive team. He is a guy who does have a lot more experience than they had with Tokarski and Condon. And, you know, he helps maybe stop that gap. I think the fact they got a guy like Scrivens, if I was reading the tea leaves, would tell me that, you know, it's going to be a little while yet, but they're not worried long-term. Like, they didn't go out to get somebody to try and be their number one. You know, probably more of a stopgap role. And a guy who, you know, hey, give Scrivens credit. He did not adjust very well early, getting that assignment down to the American Hockey League, losing out the Oilers' job. But over the past five starts, his last five down there in Bakersfield, I think he had a save percentage in the .940 range, kind of turned a bit of a corner late and kind of earned himself this opportunity. And, you know, basically now in whatever starts he gets with the Canadians is probably fighting for his NHL life for the rest of the season.
Kev, always great to catch up with you, man. I appreciate it. We'll talk more goaltenders next Monday on Crease Lightning. Have a great week.
My pleasure. Thanks, Jason.